If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 375. This is our 2025 Bank of Utah Championship and Genesis Championship Tips Podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, chaps.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website, where we have our in-depth betting previews for both the Bank of Utah and Genesis Championships. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have detailed Black Desert Resort and Wu Zhong Hills course form, player form and compi sheets, plus new and old predictor models. For the PGA and DP World Tour action this week, all of our content is available completely free of charge. No paywall or registration required. On X, you can follow us. Barry is at the Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I'm at Bamford Golf. Paul and I are on Blue Sky. Just search our name, Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. Please keep pressing that like button. And of course, make comments. It all helps with the algorithm. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. I've got great news. We have reviews. Now, they all came from the UK. So if you are listening in Ireland or America or Canada or Australia, which is where most of our listeners are, please send in more reviews. But I'm going to read this one. This one is from Brian in Runcorn. Good day to you, Brian. Best podcast of the week, 5 stars. The go-to golf podcast of the week. The guys work so hard to give us all vital stats and info. Simply the best podcast of the week. Keep up the great work, guys. And that is from Father Brian Oates in Runcorn.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Brian.
Cheers, Brian.
Oh,
I got one from the States. I think it was more just a messaging. One of the listeners' messages back and forth with me every now and again. David Zand over in the States. He did he did kind of hit the thing that we said. He put in comment at the start of his comment, which I liked. So.
Okay.
He just said,
that's what we need.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, he hit it. Another successful week with Fleetwood Lawrence. Even Kuvra was solid and DK, good shouts. So I said, all the credit goes to you two guys because my picks were appalling.
I do apologise to listeners, not for Barry's picks, but for my voice. I'm going to try and keep as quiet as possible this episode because I keep having coughing fits. So to get through the introduction was a mission impossible, which I actually achieved. So well done. Thanks to Brian in Runcorn. Thank you for your time. We have had quite a few 5-star reviews come through. Some of them are very short, some are very sweet. But yes, as I said, none from America, none from Ireland, none from Australia, none from Canada. So keep them coming. And I had an excellent Blue Sky message this week, which is going to need its own section of podcast. I was talking to Paul just before we pressed the record button about this. And it is an absolute work of art that one of our brilliant listeners has spent clearly lots of time pulling together this, as he calls it, 5-star review, which isn't on Apple. So I am going to pull out a 3 or 4 minute section of a podcast in the near future before we disappear for Christmas to read that out. It's fantastic.
Look forward to that.
Last week, Barry, talk us through your tips.
Fail, face plant. shouldn't have put money on them. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm kind of, it's just, you know, when you get lost, out of pattern, out of sync.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's probably 87% of the weeks for me, but...
Well, I'll be like it for 2 years.
Don't beat yourself up, Barry. This is it's a tough game, and you know, you celebrate the successes, and the tough weeks or tough runs are bound to come in this torturous game that we play.
The one thing I'll say is, thought the course was cool, and it being such a unique course to pretty much everything else the players will play ever on tour, anyway. You know, adds a bit of tricky, you know, extra layer of trickiness to making some picks. So clearly mine absolutely tanked. Interesting to see that I haven't run any numbers or anything like that because it's not my style, but just on the eye test, a lot of people who were up at the top of that leaderboard were what I would call Wentworth kind of compatible.
Mm. Yeah, no, I get that. I get the logic. To your point, it was great to see the course back on the schedule. And because we used to have Fan Ling, didn't we, for the Hong Kong Open, which was, I'd always put that in the same kind of category. Valderrama as well, of course, another tight, claustrophobic tree line test. And I think having Delhi Golf Club on the schedule plugs that gap since we've lost those other two tournaments for the time being. I don't think I want to see it every single week, but it asks a different question to players, doesn't it?
Part of me was thinking it was too much with the fact that loads of them weren't hitting any driver.
Mm.
It was a bit too far, but for 1 week, go for it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the nature of the course, isn't it? It is, you know, your archetypal plotter's course. And some players did take a more aggressive approach to it. And when it works, you can bring some of those holes down to size quite dramatically. When it doesn't work, it's catastrophic. So, yeah. It's, but yeah, I get your Wentworth point. At Tommy Fleetwood.
Shane Larry.
Yeah.
Victor Hovland has gone, you know.
Yeah.
You'll have seen like people like Joost Luiten have had some, you know, nice games around Wentworth. So it just felt kind of, yeah, that tree line vibe, and Wentworth being the one we're most kind of familiar with from this part of the world.
Mm. Yeah, and talking to Joost, he seems to be picking his form up as well. So shame, I'm not sure there's a truly compatible course with him this side of the end of the regular season, but one to keep an eye on anyway. But yeah, back to Tommy. He was really good on Sunday, wasn't he? You know, second Team Europe player to win since the Ryder Cup after Bob won at the Dunhill Links. But really impressive. Made a lot of decent putts on the Sunday afternoon as well, which isn't always the way with Tommy, but really impressive.
He's found the putter recently. When he won that Tour Championship, it was literally all with the putter.
Mm. Yeah.
Here's some stats for you, chaps. I'm not talking world rankings, where at the moment, Europe have actually got four of the top 10 in the world. In fact, five of the top 11. But data golf rankings, let's modernise the podcast. We have started talking data golf rankings a lot more this year. Scottie Scheffler's clearly number one at 3.24. Do you know who's number two now? Tommy Fleetwood, 2.04 data golf index. Mm. John Rahm at 3, 1.94. Rory McIlroy at 4, 1.86. We're rounded out by my good friend Russell Henley at number 5.
Yeah, I get that. I'm not sure I would put McIlroy behind John Rahm at the moment. That doesn't feel... I mean, like, algorithms are algorithms, and you know, the numbers are the numbers, but yeah.
That is crazy. Rory's won 4 times this year. Rahm hasn't. Yeah.
Strokes gain data, Barry. I mean, world rankings, Scheffler 1, McIlroy 2, Xander 3, Henley 4, Tommy Fleetwood 5.
Yeah.
I'm still absolutely in a world of shock that Russell Henley's number four in the world.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's where we are.
That's the most shocking thing.
The OWGR is broken in a lot of respects, but yeah.
But yeah, he's fifth in data golf, what, one win, and hasn't been outside the top 19 in his last 8 starts.
Oh, consistency is amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Doesn't win, though.
No.
Which isn't a lot of good when you're actually trying to pick a winner when you're betting.
We did have a bit of some upside last week, though, Steve. You were on Jaden Shaper, who finished in a tie for 6th in the end, I think. So, yeah, he got his full each way with the 8 places. And
we had Tristan Lawrence.
Tristan Lawrence, yeah. Put in a decent shift on Sunday to place at 66-1. So, yeah, decent enough week overall, I think.
Good punts, boys. They were nice.
I'm going to put it out there now. I think Tommy Fleetwood is going to win the DP World Tour Championship at the Earth Course.
Interesting. He wins both of them in the same season.
Kind of. Because to win the FedEx Cup, you'd now win the Tour Championship. But, of course, with the DP World Tour race to Dubai, it's a season-long thing, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it didn't win the season-long
thing, but
won the final, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see it.
Loads of asterisks.
I can remember a couple of years ago. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year that Nikolai Højgaard won, but shoot me down, Paul, if I'm wrong, that Fleetwood was right in the mix and came a shot shy or something like that.
There's been a few times he's been in serious contention for that and just not quite managed to, you know, perhaps we will see a different Tommy now. Perhaps we'll see a more confident and more relaxed Tommy should he find himself in those positions. But in the past, he's kind of looked a bit rabbit in the headlights, kind of.
He might turn into a relaxed ninja assassin.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He proved that on Sunday in India. And, yes, the field isn't or wasn't as strong as it will be at the DP World Tour Championship, but equally, he still had to go out there and put the round together, and he made the putts when he needed to make the putts. That was impressive. And, yeah, with the Tour Championship in his back pocket, that's got to give you immense confidence moving forward, not to mention the Ryder Cup, of course. So,
I was commenting last week, wasn't I, that Fleetwood was 6-1 and McIlroy was 4-1. I've never seen a gap that small. And, of course, Fleetwood clears up.
It did get quite a bit closer before the start of the tournament. They weren't far off joint favourites. So there was undoubtedly some late money for Tommy. And in the end, that was some shrewd money. 6-1, 11-2, that kind of number. I struggle with that with Rory in the field because it's a win-only punt, certainly for me, and win-only taking on Rory would be quite a challenge. But in the end, those backers who plumped with him would have got their reward. So well done if you were on Tommy.
What do you think of Victor Hovland? I'm just thinking, is Victor one to look at for one of the upcoming final events?
Potentially, yeah. There's enough to like in his game at the moment. It comes down to the value and the players that he'll be up against. Can you take a chance on him to take on and beat those players that are going to be ahead of him in the market? As Steve said, you know, Fleetwood's going to be hot property at the at the Earth Course. Fleetwood's got a great record in Abu Dhabi as well, and you're not going to be able to shift Rory from the top of the markets for the ones that he plays anyway. So yeah, I don't know. It's a tough ask, I think.
Starting to look like the Victor we knew of probably 18 months, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That swagger in the swing or whatever it is, it looks there, which is great to see because he's just really interesting and exciting to watch when he's there and thereabouts.
Yes. Yeah, it's good to have an in-form Victor Hovland in the mix and in the conversation when we're trying to fathom out how to play these events.
I was going to run through some rankings quickly, because it's this time of the year where the rankings are really, really important across the, both tours, world rankings and whatever. John Kiefer actually snuck into the world top 50 yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was it the first player ever to make the top 50 just on Korn Ferry?
Mm.
I'm sure I saw. Poston slips out. Of the players that are playing this week, Ryan Gerrard's at 52. We have got Matt McCarthy at 58 and Tristan Lawrence up seven places after India to 61 in the world. Don't forget, top 50, final week of the year, gets you an invite into the Masters. 64 is Siwoo Kim, who also plays this week, your event, Paul, in South Korea. So they're worthy of note. Let's talk race to Dubai, PGA Tour qualification. Penj at one, he's in. We know that. Rattan's at two, he's in. Sadia at three, he's in. Parry looks good at four. Alex Noren at five, so he's playing PGA Tour golf, whatever. Interestingly, he's still playing Black Desert this week. Hao Tong Li at six. Daniel Brown, seven. Jordan Smith, eight. Keita Nakajima jumped nine spots to take the ninth position. And Martin Kuvra, the Frenchman, jumped over Lauri Kanter. So Kuvra's in, Kanter's out at the moment. Kanter, Smiley, Lagergren, Neergaard Pettersson, and Tristan Lawrence now up to 15th spot in that particular race. Daniel Hillier, 16th spot.
Lots to play for.
Plenty to play for. Plenty to play for. Now, PGA Tour, we're playing the full series this week. They've got a whole new system in. We were discussing it off pod. There's so many different angles to check out here. Top 100 get full cards for next year. A full card effectively means that you can play in any tournament which isn't an elevated signature event. Hosler is at 95. Fishburne at 98. I'm talking about players that are playing this week here. Lipsky at 99. Max Homer's on the bubble at 100. Max Homer's still got win exemptions, so it's pretty immaterial to Max Homer. And then outside the top 100, you've got Isaiah Salinda, Austin Eckroat, who I believe's got win exemptions, so that's not valid. Joel Damon at 103. Max McGreevy at 104. I'm not going to go through the full list because it'll be a rather boring and long podcast. Victor Perez, almost got it wrong. Victor Perez at 105. So they're just on the outside. But also, we've got to keep our eye, I think, on top 125, because top 125 earn conditional PGA Tour status. So from 101 to 125, you're pretty much going to get it's not a schedule you can pick, but you're going to get to play a lot of events next year if you finish in that top 125.
Mm.
I'm talking low-ranking stuff. Let's get some examples, like, I don't know, a Valero Texas Open, a Valspar Championship, this kind of stuff. And, of course, all of the Corrales, Myrtle Beach Classic, all of the twin events that are played against the bigger events elsewhere.
Mm.
Now, at the moment, you've got Zach Johnson hogging 125. Not that makes any difference because he's on a lifetime extension. You've got Chan Kim, Alejandro Tosti, Henrik Norlander. You love a bit of Henrik Norlander, don't you, Paul? Doug Gim and Zach Johnson. They're within the 125. And then outside, Brant Snedeker, Jackson Suber, amazingly, they're all playing this week. Adam Schenk, Justin Lauer, and Taylor Montgomery. And then there's just a huge list. I did point out off mic, Seamus Power is at 135. And by my calculations, Power's win exemptions have all gone. So Seamus Power's playing for his PGA Tour future over the next few weeks, in my reckoning. It's a complex old web, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it can easily get tripped up with these rankings and the exemptions that are out there and the medicals and everything else that filters into it.
The Rob Bolton, like, PhD and how to keep track of who has what category or status.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So plenty to play for. Should we talk around then? So let's talk around this week's event. We'll talk PGA Tour first, and then we'll move across to Korea. Bank of Utah Championship. This is the second tournament on the trot on the PGA Tour, which people will look at it and go, I don't know, you know, what the hell's this? Bank of Utah Championship, new sponsor. But this is the course they played last year that you might remember that's basically carved out of the desert in Utah, Ivins, Utah, which has got black lava rock just literally framing every hole.
Yep.
Last year, Matt McCarty won. He won at 66-1. And his background, not this, it's interesting this year, isn't it, boys? No, I'm not seeing any Korn Ferry Tour grads get into this field.
Mm.
Not one.
Yep.
No Neil Shipley, none of them. So it must be very strict as to, I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, you've got PGA Tour pros here fighting for their careers, haven't you? So they're fighting for every single spot.
It feels like the reshuffle and the constant this time of year when they're doing this reshuffling or you're fighting for a higher status, that's really grabbed the attention of the guys who are trying to get up that one layer up.
Yeah, exactly.
Still a bit mad though. You get you get through the KFT after all that work and it's still hard to get into an event.
I don't think any of these Korn Ferry Tour guys are going to be playing. If I remember correctly, I don't think any of them even got into the Sony Open at the start of last year. Or if there was, it was literally one or two. I think if you're kind of getting, you know, if you're in that 15th to 20th spot from the Korn Ferry, your first event next year is going to be the American Express at PGA West.
Yeah. It's the same equation with some of these guys who graduate from the DP World Tour because your Paul Warings struggle to get a start, particularly at the start of the year.
This golf course is 7,421 yards long. It's a par 71. What we've got to bear in mind, though, it's at 3,100 feet above sea level. So do the maths, you're effectively looking at a 6,900-yard par 71, which features three reachable par 5s, two reachable par 4s, and a short par 3. Or a set of short par 3s, to be fair. Read various player quotes saying, yeah, you know, some of these holes are pretty stern, but you just know that around the corner you're going to have a par 5, a short par 3, or a drivable par 4, so stay patient on some of the holes where there's bogey in play and then really go lights out on these shorter holes.
Yep.
It's a Tom Weisskopf design. If you're looking for a course form that kind of matches, maybe look at TPC Scottsdale, which is another Weisskopf design. That's where they played a Waste Management Phoenix Open. In terms of the agronomy, we are looking at Dominator bent grass, Kentucky bluegrass rough. Greens are large, 7,000 square feet on average. And I love this particular grass type. It's 007XL bent grass. That's what we're playing. It was really hot here last year. I know people... yes, Steve, it's in the Utah desert. It was up to approaching 30, 31 degrees Celsius. This year seems a lot cooler. So I'm seeing temperatures of 22 to 25 degrees Celsius. That is 72 to 77 Fahrenheit. Now, why I mention that, ball won't travel as far. There also seems to be a couple of blustery afternoons, especially Saturday, which could go over 20, 25 miles an hour. So last year, Matt McCarty won at a rather low 23 under par. Not that I think it makes a great deal of difference in terms of who you're going to pick, but I think maybe 18, 19 under this year. And there was talk last year that the whole course was designed for and has such good agronomy and drainage and whatever that they like it to play with firm releasing greens. And actually, last year in round four, I did actually note it as a firm golf course. So hopefully you might find a course that's got plenty of roll on the fairways and actually correspondingly roll a little bit of release on the greens come the weekend. So yeah, I think high teens. That's kind of where I'm at. The other thing I think is really worthy of note here, the fairway widths are incredible. 70 to 100 yards wide. So what you get is really wide fairways, a very, very tiny slither of rough, and then you're in lava, black, thousand-year-old lava, and all manner of trouble. There's, you know, there's typical Utah, it's your typical desert setup, rocks, cacti, spiders, lizards, all manner of stuff off the fairway, but you've got to be wackily wild to actually miss fairways. Now, we came here last year, and I thought it was a bomber's heaven. But when we were actually playing through it, and just looking at a lot of the data that I saw from last year, it seems to be a kind of golf course where distance didn't actually help, because it seemed to be that people were driving the ball to kind of similar distances on a lot of the holes, be that whether you were a Lucas Glover or a Stefan Jaeger. So in the end, when you looked at the data golf, tournament data from last year, it actually said that, and it came, when you look through the data, that a lot of the benefit here was actually hitting tons of greens, tons of fairways. It was more of a kind of plodders will prosper. And Matt McCarty isn't long. Stefan Jaeger is, but Matt McCarty actually gained more strokes off the tee than Stefan Jaeger by simply hitting it slightly less, but hitting more fairways.
Just keep out of the lava, I expect.
Yeah, because if you make a mistake here and you actually keep, you get it into these rock forms, you're in serious trouble. So I can remember last year, and I can remember it very, very well, tipping up a certain player called Michael Thorbjørnsen. And I think he withdrew with an injury after he shot some incredibly high round on the Thursday.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
And then I remember Lucas Glover shooting 9 under par on Sunday to save my bacon and finish third. So I got a full each way at like 33 to 1. So, in a way, it's one of those rare events. I've actually gone down the other route of keeping, kind of going for short, tidy players that are very good with their wedges from like 125 and in. Which makes sense on a course where you've got a lot of par fours that are just, it's a bit of a wedge fest to a certain extent. Seems to me as well, a lot of the, I mean, if you can't make it also, if you're not long enough to make the par fives, a lot of these players going in with like an 80, 100-yard wedge with their third into some of these par fives. I came out with five names. My prices are from 16 to 1 out to a whopping 275 to 1. What about you guys? Where are you positioned in terms of your prices?
I've got a couple. I did have three, but one of them's withdrawn, sadly. I've got 33 and a 70 this week.
I have one right now, and I know you're going to kick yourself, Steve, because... But when I say it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I should have backed him. And he's yeah.
It's half the field, Barry. Is that similar to if I don't pick Joaquim Lagergren in at the Genesis, and you just know that you've been backing him week after week, and eventually he wins?
You've stopped backing him. Oh, that's a bad idea. Even just a euro each way, just for sanity.
I've only backed one in career at the moment, so I'm flexible. Right. My first bet is a guy that back in 2016 won four times in 10 DP World Tour events. He also won three times in seven as part of that run. I was amazed to see his name on the list, but whenever I looked at courses that were short or low scoring or anything that I could find that Matt McCarty related to or Stefan Jaeger related to in terms of correlating course form, this guy just kept popping up and up and up and up and up. His name is Alex Norén. And worthy of note this week, Monday afternoon UK time, William Hill put up a 10 places each way market. So I took advantage of that and got him at 16 to 1, 10 places each way with William Hill. He's currently outside the top 100. I know that he's 17th in the world. I know that he's going to get back on the DP World Tour. On the PGA Tour via the DP World Tour. But it just made me wonder, why is Alex Norén playing this week? And my thoughts were, well, he must be playing because he A, wants to, and B, he wants to get something done this week. Otherwise, why would you bother? And if you look at the schedule moving forward, we've got a gap week next week. And then the week after that, we've got the WWT in Mexico on the PGA Tour, and you've got the Abu Dhabi playoff event, Paul, on the DP World Tour. And then the week after that, they go to Bermuda on the PGA Tour, and we've got the Earth Course, the DP World Tour Championship finale in Dubai. Now, Norén's in the top 10 on the DP World Tour race to Dubai. He could play Abu Dhabi. He could play the Earth Course. So I just wondered, why is he playing this way? Is it just to kind of keep himself playing? Or
I have a theory, Steve. We know he loves bent grass. Maybe he's kind of getting on the Bamford's love of all types of grasses. This is the only chance he gets to play 007 XL bent grass in the year on tour.
That's a very interesting angle because... Everything left on the DP World Tour is now going to be Bermuda grass. The two wins he's got on the DP World Tour this year are both on bent grass or bent poa greens. And we've always said this guy only ever wins, on bent or bent poa. So maybe he's looked at this golf course and said it's short, bent, beautiful bent grass greens, large. It suits my game. I'm going to give it a go. So I'm on 16 to 1, 10 place each way, William Hill, Alex Norén. Never won in the United States. Maybe this is the week. Maybe this is the week. Let's be frank. It's not exactly the toughest field, is it?
Well, no. And as you said, when he gets the bit between his teeth and from a winning perspective, he can rattle off a few victories. And it was really impressive when we were on him at Wentworth as well. Got the Ryder Cup he was involved with... In the background, so should be coming in with a bit of confidence, I think.
On first show, Maverick McNealy was 12 to 1 and Alex Norén was 20 to 1. I couldn't understand that.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm on Norén. I'm then on a player I rarely back. When I have in the past, he's always let me down. Paul was on him a few weeks ago, and I believe... Did he get you a... squidging of each way return in Japan? Christian Bezuidenhout?
Yeah.
Or did he finish 10th? Oh, I think he was 10th.
Now. It all merges into one after a while, though.
1.5 points each way, 30-1, bet 365, 8 places each way. I think there's something here about a good wedge player. I don't think you've got to be long here to win. Matt McCarthy, kind of mid-range. We had Lucas Glover up there. Kevin Streelman. They're not the longest. Bezuidenhout. Another that hasn't won in the States. But he's got some great course form and desert course form, both in the Middle East and in America itself. He was second this year at the American Express, I believe. Oh, sorry, that was last year. 2024 American Express. He was second at PGA West. This year, he was fourth at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which, again, Weisskopf Design. And Barry mentioned Norren and Bentgrass. I think Bezuidenhout, and we've said this so many times on this podcast, I still think South Africans excel on bentgrass greens. So I am on Christian Bezuidenhout. Fantastic putter. Very good with his short wedges. He's actually hitting some fairways and greens at the moment, which Christian can be all over the place off the tee. Short and crooked is never a good mixture in golf. He can be that, but at the moment he's actually relatively short but straight, which I think makes him a danger. So Christian Bezuidenhout, 1.5 points each way, 30-1, bet 365, 8 places each way for me. Right, Paul, on to your first.
Yeah, well, I've kept it quite simple and just gone with Matt McCarthy to retain his title. 33-1 I got with BetMGM. We mentioned BetMGM last week, and actually I've got a few of my bets away with them again this week. So the pricing, again, has been pretty strong from them. So do check them out if you don't use them or haven't used them historically. Well worth a look. But yeah, Matt McCarthy, where it all started last year. And we do see it happen occasionally where you get these players who pop up and then they repeat their maiden win either the next year or a year or two down the line. So I wouldn't be remotely surprised should it happen. He's playing some nice stuff. 8th at the Wyndham, 9th after 54 holes at the Pro Core, and then 14th last time out at the Bay Current Classic. It was the 60 that he closed with that really caught my eye. So that's the last competitive round that he played, and he's heading into his the event that he won last year. So that ticked that box. And of course, you mentioned earlier, 58th in the OWGR. So there's an incentive there to get himself inside the top 50. And he could do that in one fell swoop by retaining his title this week.
I actually believe he finished in the top 20 on debut at the Masters this year.
Yeah, he's a good player, McCarthy.
Again, very good putter. There seems to be something here, and I know putting is the most horrible statistic to try and actually model and predict, but there's definitely something here about good putters. I'm going to put it out there, but I would not be surprised, you know, if Brandt Snedeker actually made the cut and was visible on the leaderboard this week. Barry, over to you. I take it you've picked Brandt Snedeker as your first selection.
No. I've picked the number two in your predictor model. I actually did it my own predictor, independent of reading your preview, and he was kind of getting up there. Just thought the combination of player and approach play and putting would kind of work quite well. Bit of recent form. So I'm going with Takumi Kanaya, former amateur world number one.
What price did you get?
I'm just pulling this together now. So I can get him at 45-1, 8 places. Hang on, let me just see. That was player, 3.36. I had 3.65 open just to see all of the kind of different prices across the blended places.
Yeah, he's in that bracket, isn't he?
He's the sort. He is the sort.
I can get, 60-1, 6 places? I might take the bigger price. I was looking back through his data golf, and he I mean, he won a tournament just a few weeks ago, the ANA Open Golf Tournament on the Japan Tour. Has gone 21st, 4th, and then 23rd. His last three outings since. And just looking back in 2024, 23, 22, he seems to just go through very hot periods of form this time of year, September, October. So that's kind of biorhythm angle too.
I've gone for a 45-1 chance with bet 365, 8 places each way. His name is William Mao. Do you know anything about William Mao? Is that a player that's come onto either of your radars?
I've heard the name.
He won the ISCO Championship a few months ago, which is that joint event, I think, when... Yep. Is it the Scottish Open's on or the Open Championship?
Yeah,
or
one of them, yeah.
He shot a final round 61 to come from... I believe he teed off, was it like 2 hours before the leaders and won the golf tournament? It was something crazy. So he's got a PGA Tour 2-year exemption in his back pocket for both 2026 and 2027. He's coming in here on a free wheel, effectively, isn't he? And what he's trying to do is get into this Aon Top 10, where he can then start getting into the elevated events in February next year, would it be? Or late January, AT&T, and then the Genesis Invitational. He's in 86th spot in the FedEx Full Series. But I just love... He's Californian, and I just think he's going to really like this track. You just look at his Corn Ferry form from last year. He was second in Kansas on A184 Bent Grass Greens. He was fourth in the state of Utah at the Oak Ridge Country Club. They were Poana Greens. And second in Idaho, the Hillcrest Country Club, which are a mix of Bent and Poana Greens. Now, it's funny, I went through Matt McCarty's interviews from last year. It was fascinating stuff. Great way to spend your weekend, listeners. I love doing it. And he mentioned a couple of things I found really interesting. The first thing he mentioned was he lives in Scottsdale. And he said, literally, going from Scottsdale to here is exactly the same climate, exactly the same altitude. He just felt like he was at home, in his own words. And he also referenced the Boise Open and said this golf course and the environment and everything about it, the altitude, is very, very similar to what we get in Boise. Now, that second in Idaho at Hillcrest Country Club is the Boise Open. And just last year, you got Stefan Jaeger. He had a third and a sixth at Boise on his Corn Ferry career. Kevin Streelman lives in Scottsdale, and he was in the top three or four. So there is this correlation between either Scottsdale residents or... I can see people now desperately going to their computers and scrolling through Boise Open now, leaderboards for the next couple of hours, trying to find players that have done well in Boise. But William Howe has all of that. It just seems to me that he plays well in the western or midwestern United States. So I think, in a way, this golf course at this time, when he's relaxed, he can just make it flow. He played quite well in Japan a few weeks ago. He finished, I think, with a top 10 round of the day on Sunday, so he's got a bit of momentum. So I'm on William Mao, 1.5 points each way, 45-1 with bet 365, 8 places each way. Where's your fight? What price were you, Paul, your second selection?
70-1, that is.
Well, let me chip in before the voice goes. Max McGreevy. Now, you mentioned, Barry, that your man, Kanaya, he finished fourth in Japan and then he finished, did you say 23rd or something, last week at the Japan Open?
Yeah.
That's a high-level tournament in Japan last week. My man, Max McGreevy, he won the prestigious Dunlop Phoenix tournament last November in Japan. And last week, after finishing 33rd at the Bay Current Classic, he finished 12th at the Japan Open. So I expect he's on the same plane as Kanaya, winding his way back to the Western United States. But I mentioned him earlier in that list. He's 104th in the FedEx Cup full series. So he needs some results to get that full card for next year. And whenever you look at him, it just he's interesting. Fourth as recently as August at the Barracuda Championship. They play that in California. That's another desert altitude track. And all three of his 2024 season wins were on bent grass putting surfaces. He won the Memorial Health Championship on the Corn Ferry. He won the Magnet Championship. And he won the Phoenix Country, he won the Dunlop Phoenix. Those three professional wins last year were all on bent grass green. His wedge play from 125 and in is absolutely first class. I'm talking top 10 on the PGA Tour for short wedges. So I'm on Max McGreevy, point each way, 66 to 1. I got that with Coral, 8 places each way. Paul, who's your 70 to 1 chance?
It's Taylor Montgomery, who I got at 70 to 1, again with BetMGM. Fairly limited in what he's been able to do this year because of his status, but when he has played on the PGA Tour, finished 8th at the ISCO, 12th at the 3M Open, 6th at the Sanderson Farms more recently. So has shown some form, enough form, in PGA Tour level to suggest he can go all right here. Got some KFT form in Utah, which I thought was interesting as well. He was second twice, actually. Second at the 2021 Utah Championship and also last year at the 2024 Utah Championship. Shot 62 in both renewals. Ticked a lot of the boxes when I was looking through statistically, so I thought, why not take a chance on Taylor Montgomery? So I did.
His putting is just lights out as ever.
Yes, exactly. And that's the point. And it's your point about putters doing well here, to have a decent putter on the team.
Yep.
Who's shown some form in the region in the past, seemed like a good idea.
He actually ranks in the top 10 on my 8 tournament putting stats, and he's number 2 across the whole season for putting.
He can get the ball in the hole.
He can. He's a bit of a Mackenzie Hughes sort. I think he's on is it a major or a minor? He's on a major medical exemption, that's keeping him honest.
It's a patchy season because he's played a little bit of PGA Tour and a little bit of Corn Ferry as well. It's a good opportunity for him to come and see what he can do.
Barry, is there any more players that have taken your fancy before I move on to my last selection, or anything that Paul and I have mentioned you might jump in on? Or
I'm just sticking with my one.
Sticking with your Japanese Kanoa.
Hmm.
Can I sell you Frankie Sapan?
If he's on the market. Is he your new little crush?
He is, because I can pronounce his name correctly. That's all it is. Now, this guy cannot hit a fairway for love nor money, mate. He's as I said, he's kind of short off the tee, and he's not very straight, which in the world of golf is not great, is it? I think he ranks something like 140 for driving distance, and he's like 180 something or 177 for fairways hit. You'd have thought he'd get a coach in that could actually tell him to drive a straight, wouldn't you? But I tell you what Frankie can do. He's bloody brilliant from about 125 yards in with his wedges, and he can putt lights out. He's number one across my 8-week tracker for strokes gained putting. Now, his numbers at... because he was top 6 at Sanderson Farms the other day. And I think I referenced it on one of the... I think it might have been last week I referenced him. The strokes gained putting number was absolutely ridiculous. I'm trying to get it up here so I can quote it. Yeah, listen to this. This is a round number, boys. Per round, he gained 3.182 strokes with a putter. So he gained over 12 strokes cumulative with the putter and actually lost almost four strokes tee to green. That is mad, and he finished sixth. He must have been holing everything, literally. Now, I'm not suggesting that continues, but just hear me out. Frankie Sapan, right? I think he's mid-140s now in the FedEx Cup Full Series. It's given him some hope. Wide fairways. Let's just hope he doesn't hit it in the lava kind of rocks too often. But these greens are massive. They're 7,000 square feet. And if this guy can actually get the ball on the green, he can do some serious damage with the flat stick. And there was one particular player last year. I can't remember who it was, but there was one guy that finished in the top five, and it was literally all putting. Everything he gained was with the putting. The tee to green game was either neutral or slightly negative. That is the Frankie Sapan. That is his go-to, mate. And one thing you notice about him at the Corn Ferry last year, once he actually found a little bit of form, 9th, 8th, 4th, missed cut 2nd, and then he had another run where he went 2nd, 12th, 1st, 5th. So when he finds something, he gets these rolls together. So I looked down the order and I thought, is there anyone on there that's come onto my research radar that is at a big, big price? And it's Frankie Sapan. Someone got in before me at Bet365 because he was priced up at 300-1, but I got 275-1, Bet365, 8 places each way, on Frankie Sapan the third. So Sapan, McGreevy, Mao, Bezadenhout, and Alex Noren for me. Are we done in the desert?
Yep.
Let's move to, I just love it. Is it Wuzhong Hills, Paul?
Wuzhong Hills, yes. Yeah, another nice new venue for us to get our teeth into on the DP World Tour.
Can I just ask you, how long did the data take to pull together for your course form for our listeners and readers? It must have taken forever.
I did do it in a few instalments, I must say, to get there. But yeah, that is the benefit. We do have some course form to run through, which I'll go through in some detail in a little while, because some of it's relevant, some of it's not quite so much. But yes, back to South Korea again this year for the Genesis Championship. That was after Benny Ann won this last year at a different venue. So again, the regular weekly DP World Tour curveball that's thrown at us. Similar quandary to last week as well, in that we've got a few top class players in attendance at the top of the market. So as to how to play this, again, each for their own, but these guys at the top, again, you could make a case for a number of them. Hideki Matsuyama is the marginal favourite, although he's been pushed out a little bit overnight to 12-1. It's the same price now as Siwoo Kim in place is 12-1. Rasmus Nygaard Pettersson 16, Sung Jae-im 16, a little bit of an 18-1 about Adam Scott, who's playing this week. And then there's a little bit of 20-1 about Benny Ann, who, as I said, is the defending champion this week at 20-1. 22-1 by those players. So, again, another top-heavy market. There's 36 local players who've found their way into this field of 126 this week. So you'll find most of those residing much further down the list. Although there are a few gems which you might be able to unearth, which we'll talk about in a little while. Changing venue, as I mentioned, we're at Wuzhong Hills Country Club. That's in Cheonan, which is about 50 miles south of Seoul in South Korea. It's a 7,367-yard par 71, designed by Perry Dye, so one of Pete Dye's sons. Tree-lined, classical design, but plenty of water in play too, which when we see it on our screens will be quite evident, I think. Elevation changes, contoured greens, they've used bent grass from tee to green here, which is often the case in South Korea. Three mid-length par fives, a couple of sub 360-yard par fours, but the rest of the course is pretty tricky, especially the par threes. There's some challenging long par threes on the course, which I suspect will produce a number of challenges and bogeys during the course of the week. Now, as Steve alluded to, we have got some course form. In fact, it goes back all the way to 2003 on the Korean and sometimes Korean stroke Asian circuit. Some of the events were co-sanctioned between the two. It's the Korea Open that's been played here. We've got winning scores ranging from 2 under to 16 under. So it can undoubtedly be a challenging course if the conditions allow. And it certainly has done over the course of the years. There's been a lot of variance in the winning total. This year, though, calm forecast. There's some rain over the weekend just gone. Dry, sunny, mid-60s Fahrenheit. I think it's going to feel quite Northern European in that respect. It doesn't look like it's going to be one of the more challenging years. So I suspect we're going to find the winning total edging into the maybe low mid-teens, something like that. Perhaps we'll be challenging the 16 under, which is the record that I could see of the events that have been played here. The Korea Open, though, used to be a well-attended event over the years. Rory used to play this. He finished third, second and second in three starts here between 2009 and 2013. Ricky Fowler won this back in 2011 at 16 under.
I remember that.
I think, don't quote me on this, I think that may have been Ricky's first
professional win.
Yeah, first pro win.
It was definitely before his first PGA Tour win.
Yeah, it makes sense. I've got a feeling it was his first pro win. So, yeah, his name is on the winners list here. Sung Kang won in 2013, regular PGA Tour player. He won at 4 under. So you can see the difference there. Ricky at 16, Sung Kang at 4 under. K.H. Lee, another regular on the PGA Tour, won this back-to-back 2015-2016 at 13 and 16 under par. Jazz Janawatanand, got my pronunciation almost right there.
Unbelievable.
Don't ask me to do it again. 2019 at 6 under he won that year. So, yeah, again, some variation. I suspect, given the conditions this week, it's going to be a little bit deeper than that. But this course can undoubtedly play tough if the conditions allow. We've got all of this history. That's not to say we've got much data statistically, though. Stats are very, very, and I'll use another, very patchy. Even the events where they captured basic data, the driving accuracy and greens and regulation, it wasn't for the whole field. It was for proportions of the field. And in a number of instances, we didn't capture the winners' stats either. So, there's not a great deal to work from. We have got data from Jazz Janawatanand, from 2019. He was fifth for greens and regulation, first for scrambling that year. Minkyu Kim won this last year. He was first for greens and regulation. So if you were to pick a number or pick a stat from the data that we have got, you'd probably err on the side of greens and regulation. But it's so patchy, I wouldn't put a massive amount of credence into it, I must say. We'll have to see how it plays when we get it on our screens. In terms of incoming form, the last 12 winners, each of them had a top 20 finish in one of their last three starts. So that does show that you're going to need to come in with an element of incoming form. The winners often were rounding into form or had shown enough kind of sparky rounds recently to be considered for this. So just looking for those players who've shown some signs of life over the last two or three starts would be a good start for this, I think. Course form might count for something too. We've got 40 of this week's field have played here before in some capacity. As I said, KH Lee won this twice. Minkyu Kim won last year, also won a couple of years before that. So he's won two of the last three career opens. So do take a look at the stats, event history, or the course history stats on the site, or the combi stats, because they may give you a clue or two this week, potentially. Now, I've gone with four players this week. Again, look at the top of the market. You could make a case for Hideki or for Siwoo Kim. You know, these players that are dropping down to, you know, from PGA Tour level to DP World Tour level, got to be considered. They've got to have a lot of respect for them, as per Tommy Fleetwood last week. Benny Ann, who's, as I said, 20 to 1 or thereabouts and defending, he was fourth last time, as you mentioned, I think, Stephen, last week's pod. He finished fourth, found a bit of form from seemingly nowhere, heading into this event where he's defending. So, you know, one of these guys, of course they could win. I've gone a little bit further down the list. I've stuck with Tristan Lawrence, who is the best price, 25 to 1 now. He's been quite popular in the market, but I think 25 to 1's fair. Backed him last week, closed with 65 to place, as we said. Missed a few short putts as well during the course of the week. Had he made everything inside 5 or 6 feet during the 4 days, he could well have won that tournament last week. Played nicely in the main. Second for strokes gained off the tee last week. And that's not really the game in Delhi. I think that kind of performance would translate much better to this week's task. So hopefully he keeps that kind of performance level going with the driver. As I mentioned last week, he's outside the top 150 on the PGA Tour rankings. So he's got work to do if he's going to be playing PGA Tour golf next year. And he's chosen to try and retain his card through this route on the DP World Tour. So up to 20th in the rankings, which I think you mentioned earlier.
He's 15th in that promotion race. 20th overall, 15th in that ranking. So what? So he's five places outside getting a PGA Tour card back.
Yeah, and it's in terms of actual points in those kind of...
It's not huge, is it?
No, it's not. No. It's not insurmountable by any stretch. So no. Decent week here and or over the fortnight when they come back. That could be big for him. And also, as you mentioned, he's just outside the top 50 in terms of the OWGR. So I can see why he's focused on these few weeks. It presents some good opportunities for him. And he's playing some nice stuff. He played with Michael Kim for the final round last week. And Michael Kim's great on X. He puts a lot of content out there, talks about the course, talks about the state of his game, talks about the players that he's played with. And he played with Tristan on Sunday, and he was purring about his game and the way he played on Sunday. So let's hope that he can take that forward and put that driver into good use this week in South Korea. So Tristan's in. I've also backed Daniel Hillier at 50 to 1. That, again, that was with BetMGM. That price is still there as we record this on Tuesday morning. So do take a look. Another who popped up last week, I think, will be better suited to this week's test in Korea than he was last week in India. On Sunday, out in 30, birdied a 10th, and that was the fourth day in a row that he birdied the 10th for a two-shot lead at the time, and then it kind of all unravelled from there. He was four over for his final five holes, finished ninth, or tied for ninth in the end. So not quite as he anticipated, but certainly showed enough to make a note in, or to get a note in my mind for this. And the extra, 450 yards has got extra this week compared to last. I think that's for a player who is strong from off the tee, that could be a key factor this week. All of his key strokes gain metrics went forward last week. That was good to see. Putting nicely as well. And it's a similar scenario to Tristan in terms of his motivation, because he sits a couple of spots down. I think it was 22nd in the race to Dubai. So again, he's not out of the equation in terms of a chance of getting that PGA Tour playing rights and card for next year if he can put a decent finish to the season together. So we'll see how Hillier goes. Julian Guerrier I've backed, also 66 to 1 again with BetMGM. Slightly different equation for the Frenchman. He sits at 76th in the race to Dubai. So if he's going to be playing Abu Dhabi, he needs a good week this week. Of course, he's not going to have one of these spurious exemptions that popped up for players last week who'd been part of the Ryder Cup team. Spurious is a bit of a naughty word, isn't it? The rule was there, wasn't it? Of course, not that Tommy knew about it, but that's a story for another day. And back to Guerrier, won the Andalusia Masters this time last year. He won it on the 20th of October, Barry. That's a nice one for you in terms of biorhythms, given today is the 21st of October. So, yeah, won the Andalusia Masters. They'd moved it, of course. It wasn't at Valderrama. It was on a different track, but quite a bit of water in play on that track. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of correlation there. Not great the first half of this season, but turned 40 in July. Seems to have stepped up a gear since. Sometimes these big birthdays alongside births of children, etc., they can all have a way of galvanising a player. And it seems to have stepped up a little bit since he's turned 40. 24th in Denmark, 8th at the Belfry. I don't think the Belfry's a bad course to look at in terms of correlation for this too. Second after day one in France and 5th to halfway in Spain recently. So he's been percolating a little bit. Decent player from off the tee. And I think, again, this should suit much more than last week. And I think a switch to bentgrass agronomy is going to help him as well. When he won that tournament in Andalusia, he topped the field for strokes gained putting on the bentgrass greens there when he won last year. So Julien Guerrier could go well. And the final one, I kind of alluded to it before, of the local players, the one that I've backed is Min Kyu Kim. And 100 to 1 available now. He has been popular. He opened at 125s, but there's still a little bit of 100 to 1 out there. And I would take it if you fancy him sooner rather than later, because he is going to be nibbled in continuously. He's the guy I mentioned before. He won here in 2022, won again last year too. So he's got two cracking bits of course form. Only 24 years old, but he's been on our radar for a few years now. I remember in the back of my mind when he won twice on the Euro Pro Tour as a 16-year-old. Back in 2017. He then became the youngest player to win on the Challenge Tour the year after, aged 17. This was back in 2018, so 7 years ago now. Seems like an age ago, but he's still only 24. Liv obviously think quite a bit of him. He got a brief call-up to stand in for Ben Campbell when he was injured earlier in the season in the Korean event they played over there. This lad's got a high ceiling, I think. His form tends to come in patches, so the fact that he finished second last week on the Korean Tour, I think we've got to respect that, and we've got to give him a chance here on a course that he has excelled on twice in the past. So the MI4, Min Kyu Kim, Julien Guerrier, Daniel Hillier, just turned him into a Frenchman, and Tristan Lawrence for me. Barry, throw me a name or two.
Well, it merged together quite nicely, and I'm going to do a double as well. So another former amateur world number one, Keita Nakajima. He's just playing some really nice golf, and I wonder whether being in the part of the world he's from might just all merge together and he grabbed that win.
Yeah. Some really good stuff last week, wasn't it? When he's playing well, he looks like he could be a real top-class player. Still a bit patchy with his form, but certainly likes playing in India as well, doesn't he?
Absolutely loves it. Just on a very nice run of golf. He got a couple, in August, had a couple of nice ones there, 4th and the 17th, in British Masters, European Masters. Little bit of a funky dip, and then second last week. So I wonder if he's starting to kind of, because earlier in the year he did back-to-back seconds, so
he always grabs me as the sort that will string a couple together. Nakajima,
patchy, but when he's good, he's really good.
I'm following you in on that, Baron.
Oh,
I've got my Ladbrokes account open right now. 22 to 1. Akita Nakajima. Very nice. I'm following you in as well, Paul.
Oh, go on.
Tristan Lawrence.
Yes.
Now, I managed to get 33-1 with him on first show yesterday with Star Sports. Six places each way. Which was an outstanding price.
Yeah. He's been really popular. But, you know, for all the reasons I said, he could go well. To your point earlier about South Africans on bent grass as well, it's the shift from Bermuda to bent grass this week can only help him. And if he can just not miss those two-foot-ten putts and three-foot-four putts.
Can Siwoo Kim... You never back Siwoo Kim on anything but Bermuda, do you?
Well, no, and super short as well, isn't he? You know, should he be really vying for favouritism with Hideki? I think
he's favourite with some sports books now.
Yeah.
He's favourite 11s over 12s for Matsuyama.
Yeah, I remember last year in this, different course, of course, but we had Tom Kim and Benny Ann at the top and similar kind of scenario. And in the end, it was a duel between the pair of them, and that justified their positions in the market. And perhaps it'll end up being the same this week, but I can't get there. Not at the price as an offer.
I think Matsuyama's using this as a warm-up for the Dunlop Phoenix. So I'm looking forward to backing him at 4-1 for that. In a couple of weeks' time.
Well, it's worth saying, as you get to this latter end of the season, and we've said it before in podcasts, you do get an increasing number of short price favourites just popping up on events that they absolutely want to play.
Yep.
Not obliged to
play. And they wipe the floor.
And what? Yeah. And they just walk it at a silly short price. But if you can hold your nose and go in with some of these players, then it can pay dividends. So we'll see.
I've got my how to pronounce facility up here, guys, for my last tip for the Genesis. Barry's going to love this. Sadom Kawikanjana. I'm on.
Tell us about him, Stu.
60-1 with Ladbrokes. And if you want to go in hot form, this guy is your go-to.
Yeah.
He currently sits fourth in the Asian Tour Order of Merit, below Scott Vincent, Kazuki Higa, and Carlos Ortiz. There you go, I didn't know. Carlos Ortiz clearly using it to keep trying to boost his official world golf ranking. But this guy currently is on a tear. He won the Korean Open in May, which Wikipedia says was played on this golf course, but clearly wasn't. He's then gone, since the 21st of September, he's gone 6th, 7th, 3rd, 4th across various events in Korea, Indonesia. He was 7th at the KJ Choi Invitational, 7th in third in Indonesia. And he was 4th last week, Barry, at that Japan Open that we've referenced, where he was 3rd for greens in regulation. So I thought, and he was absolutely pounded on first show yesterday by people that know far more about Asian Tour golf than I ever do. Or maybe they just looked at your form sheets, Paul, straight away and saw this guy at 60 and 70-1. So I am on. 60-1 with Ladbrokes, 7 places each way. I'm going to say it again, just for entertainment purposes. Sadom Kawikanjana. It's getting worse every time I say it. Literally. So that's me.
Brilliant.
I'm giving Joachim Lagergren the miss, so he wins.
Yeah. Playing some nice stuff.
Is that us, gents? We done?
I think we're all good. Week off next week.
Yeah, week off. Week off. Looking forward to it. And then we've got the final run into the finish line. Yes. The final sprint.
Indeed.
Keep those 5-star reviews coming in, especially if you're in America, Canada, Australia, Ireland. Also, comment in if you're listening to this listening to this on YouTube. Press the like button. That'd be much appreciated. Yes, off next week. We'll be back the week after for the WWT Championship in the desert of Mexico. And Paul, I believe you're in Abu Dhabi.
We are, absolutely.
Excellent. Hope your bets go well, chaps.
Best of luck.
Best of luck to listeners. See you again in a fortnight. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf.